나자이다나브라마니다나야야데이다고다나시바사지고
The following is a speech given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on April 20th, 1986 in Sri Dham Mayapur.The speech was given during the Vyasa Puja.
Mukhakruti vachalang pangulangayate giringatki patamahang bande sigurung dinatadinam. Jam shimabradachaja sadesi shimad bhakti vedanta sami prabhupada ki.Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jaya Vishnubhadra Acharya Sadhya Sadhya Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki, Nama Acharya Haridas Thakur ki, Prem Sikaho Sikrishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita GadadharoShivasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopina Shamkun Radha Kungiri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavandham Ki Navadip Mayapur Dham Ki Mathur Dham Ki Jagannath Puri Ki Ganga Mai Ki Jamuna Mai Ki Tulsi Maharani Ki Bhakti Devi KiHarinam Sankirtan ki, Harinam Sankirtana Mahajagya ki, Sangaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki, Agvari Sudhya Sembu Devotees, Agvari Sudhya Sembu Devotees, I am Shri Bhavadadacharya Sudhirsi Srimad, Bhavananda Goswami Vishnupad ki, Jaya Vishnupad Vishnu Vishnupad ki,Sangaveda Bhagavan Vishnu Patshi Sipad Ki Sangaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Shikara and Shikauranga
Jayam Vishnu Pat Paramahansa Paribhrata Kvastra Tratasi Simad Jayapataka Swami Silacharya Pad Ki Namahat Punasanstapaka Acharya Silacharya Pad Ki Gaur Pramanandi
Hare Krishna Jaya Namasristam manumapi sachiputra matra sarupam Tasyagrajang rupuring maturing goshtuvatim Radhakundam girivaram aho radhika madhavasam Yasya praptam pratita kripaya sri gurung tang natosmi কিছু বাংলা বলবো কিছু ইংরেজি বলবো প্রথমে ইংরেজি বলবো স্পিক আ লিটল ইংলিশ এন্ড দেন সাম বেঙ্গালি ইয়েস্টারডে উই রেড ভানু মহারাজ রেড শ্রীল প্রভুপাদস অফারিং টু ভক্তি সিদ্ধান্ত সরস্বতী ঠাকুর ইন দ্যাট অফারিং শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ এক্সপ্লেইনড হাউ কৃষ্ণাIs the spiritual master of everyone, but he's working through the unlimited variety of forms through his devotees who are acting as spiritual master. Therefore, we observe Vyas Puja ceremony.On the occasion of the appearance day of the spiritual master. Although we observe it on the appearance day of the spiritual master, technically speaking, we are observing Vyas Puja, not birthday or Avirbhav Tithi or the like. Vyas Puja means...We worship the entire disciplic succession. The Guru Parampara. Because Guru means that he first has to be a disciple. Nobody is a guru until they are a disciple. So that means every guru has a spiritual master, and there's a chain, any bona fide guru. Therefore, when we worship the spiritual master, we worship the entire disciplic succession. That means we ultimately worship the original giver of Vedic knowledge, Vyasadeva, by whose mercy everyone in this age gets the opportunity of understanding the purpose of life. It's a fact, as someone mentioned, I think one of my godbrothers, Saradanya Maharaj, someone, that Srila Prabhupada gave me many instructions to, at different times, to do different things. He never, just like one gets sentenced to prison with concurrent sentences, you have to serve them all. So these are blessings, but they all need to be fulfilled. Just as he said to distribute 10,000 big books and 100,000 small books every month, told me to expand the preaching unlimitedly. He told me to develop the kingdom of God that he had given, Sri Mayapur Dham. He also told me that I should travel, that I had to take the curse of Narada Muni, the curse that he had. Actually, even if I want to stop, there's always so many demands for going somewhere to preach that it's practically impossible for me to refuse. So somehow or another, traveling to try to help different projects and programs in different parts of India and the world seems to be my lot. And this way, Srila Prabhupada gave many instructions, but singularly, I'm overwhelmed to think how I'm going to be able to even achieve any one of them, what to speak of all of them. And these are not only a fraction of what he asked me to do. So therefore, I am unlimitedly grateful. One of the things Prabhupada told me to do was he told me to help certain God brothers and God sisters, which I try to encourage them. And I believe that a way to achieve some of Prabhupada's instructions is by delegating authority, which is another thing Prabhupada said to do, is don't do everything yourself, delegate it. So I like to see other people take up their individual initiative and try to encourage them to take up more responsibility. So I'm very grateful that in spite of my very difficult nature, people tell me it's difficult, that so many God brothers are still, haven't abandoned me, and they're still helping me, working together with me, and allowing me to help them in their service to Srila Prabhupada, so that we can work together for fulfilling Prabhupada's different desires. I take it anything that Prabhupada expressed is actually the desire of Krishna being manifested through Prabhupada. Whether Prabhupada tells it to me or to someone else, it's of the same absolute nature. It's every one of Srila Prabhupada's followers, whether children or grandchildren, to try to fulfill Prabhupada's desires. So I'm very grateful that I remember how Prabhupada used to say that he considered his disciples to be sent by Bhakti Siddhanta, certainly in regard to my
disciples, I can see that they're sent by Srila Prabhupada. And I see that even the spiritual nephews, nieces, or to speak of God brothers and God sisters, they're all coming from Srila Prabhupada, allowing us to show the world a real spiritual United Nations. Unity with one, with a father and many children is easy. Unity in a plural family, in a joint spiritual family where you have many, where you have a father but you have many childbearing fathers and childbearing mothers, and many aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters and cousins and so on. And it will become more complex as time goes on. To have unity and diversity in that pluralistic type of spiritual family is much more of an evidence to the world that Krishna consciousness is truly universal and holds a solution for the world. Hare Krishna. I'll speak a little in Bengali.
Anything that's happening is simply by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Actually, I feel so helpless when I have to do some important work that I'm forced to depend upon the mercy of Prabhupada. I don't see any other way of doing something. My other godmothers are much more capable than I am, more intelligent, so therefore they have got some natural qualities to do something, because I don't find myself having any quality at all. My only recourse is to fully depend on Srila Prabhupada. Somehow by his mercy things get done. He makes it seem like I'm determined or something, having some quality. But actually, people should really know it's simply by his mercy. And I know this is a fact because on a few rare occasions, I mean on some occasions, Maya tricks me, not so rare. It makes me think that I'm the doer, and that somehow by my expertise I'm going to get something done. And I remember one time I was thinking, my inner sense was telling me that I had to go immediately to the airport. People know that usually I make last minute calls into the airport, but this time I didn't heed their warning. I thought it's alright. Krishna is going to cover me, this, that. I felt proud or something, maybe. So then when I got to the airport, got through the customs, immigration, it was in Canada, I got right to the gate and I saw the plane was driving off. I had missed the flight. I think this, then I had a few hours to meditate on how I should be more humble and not take Krishna's mercy for granted. That where I've learned not to expect, even though we depend on Krishna's mercy, he may give us his mercy, or if he doesn't want to, he does not oblige us to him. Especially if a person thinks that Krishna has to give me his mercy, then Krishna has got more reason not to give it, to make us more humble. So, from these different experiences, I came to understand that actually the only time when I see that something is able to happen successfully is simply by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And due to lack of consciousness of Guru and Krishna, then we see that sometimes there are difficulties. So sometimes devotees ask how to become, how to increase my emotional service. And then we tell them that they have to learn to depend on Krishna. Actually, that is my real method. Usually I'm not successful. All the Prabhupada gave me the name Jayapataka, the name I'm supposed to be victorious. But I feel that in many ways I'm not as successful as Prabhupada I desire. Whenever there's any kind of success, then I can see that it's actually by to that whatever extent we were in on Prabhupada. And maybe it's to me by name. Actually, just want to mention that it's actually all directed towards Srila Prabhupada, because without his mercy, there is no possibility of finding any good qualities. Even though I can't find any, somehow you're able to find some, because Prabhupada said that beauty is disguised in the beholder. So therefore, because you're all beautiful people, somehow you're seeing beauty even in this particular vessel. But if you're seeing anything worthy of emulating, then that's simply a reflection of the mercy that Prabhupada has given not only to me, but to all his disciples and all of the grand disciples and anyone who tries to follow the teaching. So we should dedicate ourselves to spreading Prabhupada so that the entire world becomes more excited by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Hare Krishna.
That if one offends a Vaishnava, that offense is so serious that even to pray to God, to Krishna, will not forgive you from that. You have to go to the Vaishnava and ask for forgiveness. Similarly, if one offends the holy name of Krishna, the holy name of Krishna is the dearest to Krishna. It is Krishna's most merciful form, rather. And as such, there's no other form of Krishna more merciful than the holy name of Krishna. So you have to go to the holy name and pray to the holy name to be forgiven for your offense. So Srila Abhaycharan Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada has recommended that if one prays a prayer like this, Sri Krishna Nam Ashtakam, the glory of the holy name, that this helps one or gets rid of one offenses to the holy name and allows one to chant in a more pure way. So this is a very important verse. It's a meditation on the glories of the name of Krishna. It's only for those persons who are not envious. Anyone is envious of Krishna's name, then they should listen. You don't want to commit the offense of telling the glories of the holy name to the unfaithful. The verses are very beautiful verses. There's only 8 of them, Ashtakam. So we'll read through them and just give a brief explanation. Ila Sruti Muli Ratnamala Jyoti Nirajita Pada Panka Janta Ayi Mukta Kula Rupa Samanam Paritastvam Harinama Sansrayami.
Translation. O my dear Harinam,
holy name of Krishna. You are identical with Lord Sri Krishna's transcendental form according to all of the Upanishads. The Upanishads personify, glorify the effulgence emanating from your lotus feet. In other words, my dear holy name, your all of the personified Vedas taking shelter at your lotus feet, sing your transcendental glories with chosen verses, and yogis, rishis, and all kinds of liberated souls appropriately worship your lotus feet. Therefore, I completely surrender myself unto your lotus feet. So, that the perspective, the invocation of this first verse given by Rupa Goswami is praying to the holy name of Krishna, that Krishna's form is not different from the holy name, that the effulgence of the Brahman is coming from the lotus feet of the holy name. And all the great rishis, munis, liberated souls, they worship the holy name. Therefore, he's surrendering to the holy name. Meditation on the holy name is given this direct prominence that actually the holy name is Krishna, that the holy name is Chaitanya, Chaitananam. It's fully conscious. Therefore, we can address the holy name. We can pray to the holy name. We can have a relationship with the holy name. And the liberated souls, they are always associating with this Harinam. So, we have to adjust our perspective to avoid thinking that the holy name is some type of just static vibration, or that the holy name is some external material sound, that the holy name is the transcendental absolute truth known as Sabda Brahman. He is complete in all opulences, in all powers. Nam Nam Akari Bahuna Nija Sharva Shaktis. All the Siddhi of Krishna is present in any of Krishna's forms, whether in his visible or his pastime lila form, or whether in his sabda brahman form. So we are praying tonight to this form as the holy name, to understand Krishna in his merciful form as the holy name, and we are surrendering to the holy name to take the shelter of the Lord's holy name in this age of Kali. Verse 2. Jaya Namadeya Muni Vrindageya Janaranjanaya Paramaksharakrite Vavanadaradapi Managudiritam Nikhilogratapa Patalingvilumpasi. Translation. O my dear Krishna, holy name of Krishna, you are eternally glorified by the realized souls. Just to attract the consciousness of conditioned souls throughout the material universes, out of your causeless mercy, you manifest in an audible form of transcendental sound, vibration. Your mercy is so great, when someone chants, you accidentally or in neglect, even for one time, you destroy inconceivable quantities of their accumulated sinful reactions from many births together. My dear holy name of Krishna, all glories unto you. Muni Vrindageya, his holy name is glorified by the realized souls. Why is the holy name coming down? This Paramakshara Krite,
Why is the holy name coming down? The human being can be reawakened. So the Lord comes, the Hari name, Hari, the holy name of Krishna descends to awaken this dormant consciousness and explains that the name is so merciful that if someone chants the name of Krishna accidentally or neglectfully, say that somebody, maybe even a non-Hindu police constable, he happens to know our friend Krishna Swami, and he said, "Krishna Swami, how are you today?" or something. He has no intention of singing the names of Krishna as a religious meditation or function. But just by calling his name accidentally, he's also saying Krishna's name. His name is the same. So by doing that, it said he destroys inconceivable quantities of their sinful reactions. Even when the Muslims say, they say haram. By saying haram, they're saying ram. Ram, that means that so many sinful reactions are being cleansed away. This is one of the types of chanting, accidental chanting. There's one hotel chain in America called Ramana Inn. Ramana. So there. Huh? Ramada, yes, Ramada. So there, by that way, they are chanting Rama, Ramada. So this accidental or neglectful chanting that also takes away from many births these type of accumulated karmas. So therefore, he's glorifying the holy name of Krishna. Who can conceive of this great mercy of Krishna? The example. Enough example. Let's go to verse 3.
Jai Krishna Balaram Ki Jai.
They're going this year. They may like to stay up longer. The deity doesn't have the open time. This is right. He's not asleep. They may like to stay
up longer. The open.
Yada Vaso Hafudhyat Kavalita Pavadvanta Vibhogo Dishang Tadvandha Namapi Dishati Bhakti Pranayini Janastasyo Datam Jagati Bhagavan Nama Tarane Te Nirvaktum Kaiha Muhimanam Prabhavati Kusurabhi
Jai
Jai Lord Ki
Jai.
Translation. Each verse is written in a different Sanskrit meter, so I am not so expert. O my dear holy name of Krishna, you are more brilliant than the sun. You are so merciful that if someone utters you out of fear or merely as a namabhash, imperfect chanting of the holy name of Krishna, imperfect stage prior to offenseless chanting, even then your mercy is so great that you destroy their material ignorance and binding attachments to conditioned life and gradually bless such conditioned souls devoid of spiritual knowledge with transcendental knowledge of devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna. O my dear holy name, who in this universe can sufficiently glorify your transcendental qualities even among the great realized souls? All glories unto you. This is the next stage of chanting. If one chants out of fear, or as a type of imperfect chanting, then that can destroy material ignorance and give one liberation. Now this example is there of Ajamiya. Ajamiya named his son after the name of Krishna, Narayan. When he was dying, he called his son. By calling his son, he was crying out Krishna or Narayan. So in this way, at that last minute, he was repeating the name, Narayana Andha Smriti. So by just chanting the name, it wasn't a perfect chanting because he was actually calling his son. But he was chanting the name. And at that moment he started to remember the Lord. So because of that chanting, could achieve liberation. He was delivered. In this way, the material ignorance can be destroyed. Binding attachments to conditional life can be awakened in devotional service. Can be given even by this type of imperfect chanting or chanting out of fear. This way, who can imagine how merciful this holy name is? If a person is chanting accidentally or out of fear or inattentively or imperfectly, they're getting such an opportunity, such a blessing. What to speak of if a person chants, giving concentration, giving devotion without any neglect or any distraction? Then what is the result? Chatraga sagat kriti nishtayati vinasamayati viranabhogai apaiti nama svaranena tatte parabdha karmeti piroti veda. Translation of verse 4. By unbroken and concentrated meditation upon the impersonal Brahman, one is able to destroy, is unable to destroy the primordial sinful and pious karmic reactions which lie beyond the immediate renunciation of material enjoyment but come from time immemorial. However, my dear holy name, by vibrating on the tip of the tongue, in other words, by merely pronouncing you, these primordial karmic reactions are destroyed. Now this is a very esoteric subject. This is postgraduate subject matter. Now you're going, you've already gone through grade school, high school. Now this is going into postgraduate. This is university. This is very advanced. Most people do not know there's two types of karmas. There's Purabdha karma, and there's a normal karma. Normal karma that we get run over by a bus or we get a lottery ticket winning or whatever, that normal karma reaction, this is up to 100 births. Beyond that, it doesn't normally affect. But when the material world is annihilated, when Brahma takes his rest, and then we are again brought back into the body, and then when the new creation comes, we come out again, there is a type of Purabdha karma, or a very subtle karma, which is binding us to the Ahankara. And then when again the creation is made, that lets us take up again where we left off. So that's a very fine type of karma, which is not erased even by meditating and realizing the impersonal Brahman. Because from the Brahman, one can fall back down again into this material world. Abrahmana Bhuvana Loke Punar Vatinarjuna. Other verses are there that even after realizing Brahman, one can fall down again. So then again one takes up in the material world some activity. Although Brahman is outside the material world, if one does not know how to do spiritual activity, again one can fall down into material activity. So this type of Purabdha or primordial karma is not erased, is not destroyed even by achieving the Sayuja Mukti of merging into the Brahman. But by chanting the name of Krishna, this karma is wiped away. There are many evidences given in the Vedas regarding these glories of the holy name. Verse 5. Agadamana Yasodanandano Nandasuno Kamalanayana Gopichandra Vrindavanitra Pranata Karuna Krishna Vidyaneka Swarupe Twai Nama Radiru Chair Dir Dithan Namadeya. Translation. O Agadamana, killer of Agasura, O my dear Yasoda Nandana, beloved son of Mother Yasoda, O my dear son of Maharaj Nanda, Nanda Suno, O my dear lotus-eyed Kamala Nayana, O my dear beloved of the Gopis, Gopi Chandra, my dear Lord of Vrindavan, Vrindavanedra, my dear worshipful, merciful Lord, my dear Lord Krishna, O my beloved holy name, and these and your countless other forms, you manifest your transcendental vibration in this world to deliver the conditioned souls from the bondage of the repetition of birth and death in material life. Out of your causeless and inconceivable mercy, my dear holy name, may spontaneous attraction for chanting you increase unlimitedly by your causeless mercy upon me. So, you see, Krishna, we had his association 5,000 years ago. In Treta Yuga, we had Ramachandra present. In Satya Yuga, there are other avatars who are present. But when they are not present, when their pastimes are apakut or unmanifested, then how can we get their association? But by chanting their name, which is not different, then immediately we are getting this association with the same transcendental form of the Lord. So in this way, the residents of Vrindavan, they were having a daily festival when Krishna went to Dwarka. The residents of Vrindavan, they are constantly chanting Krishna's name. When he was present, they are chanting his name. All great devotees, they also chant the name of the Lord. This will be revealed later. So what is the significance of that? Is that this transcendental vibration, when it comes in this world, it delivers the conditioned souls from the bondage of birth and death, and by chanting, they desire to chant more, which is a spiritual desire that brings us like a magnet to the highest spiritual reality. That desire increases more and more. In other words, if somebody wants to get attraction for chanting, if they say, how can I learn to like to chant Hare Krishna? You see, then someone says, well, you do this or you do no. You have to chant. By chanting, you will learn, you will automatically increase in your attraction for chanting. That is the nature of the chanting, that the chanting purifies us. If we are chanting imperfectly, if we're chanting offensively, then we should go on chanting the name to get rid of that offensiveness, to get rid of that defect. There's no more effective method of achieving spiritual attraction, of achieving spiritual knowledge and bliss than this process of chanting. In verse 6, Vacham vacakam ituteti bhavato nama sarupadvayam purvasmat parame vahanta karunam tatrapi janimahe yastasmin dihita paradhani va prani samantad bhave dasyene damupasya sopihi sadanandam buddhav bhajati. My dear holy name, you exist in two transcendental forms or sarups, namely one form is your personal form of bliss as the Supreme Living Person, the object of glorifications in transcendental sound. And two, another form is your form as the holy name, such as Krishna, Govinda, and other transcendental names, which indicate or describe your transcendental pastime forms of bliss. You are one in the same, ever-existent, in these two transcendental forms. Of the two, I consider that your audible form, as the holy name such as Krishna, Govinda, etc., is more merciful than your visible personal form, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is because if someone is engaged in worshipping your deity forms and subsequently becomes implicated in offenses and then takes shelter of your transcendental form as the holy name, chanting Krishna, Govinda, etc., while worshipping you, my dear holy name, you out of your causeless mercy purify that person of all kinds of offenses, and he is able to relish the nectar of the unlimited ocean of transcendental bliss. Even Supra Acharya, he told at the end after Bali Maharaj's deliverance, he said, by chanting the holy name, any defect, any error in any yajnam, he said that the chidram becomes an ischidram. That chidram or that error becomes nischidra, it becomes corrected. Such is the power of the name. So when we do deity worship, which is considered aradhana, yajnam, or archanam yajnam, whether we do home yajnam, or any form of spiritual activity, if the holy name is going on side by side, that is guaranteed to make everything alright, corrected. So therefore the holy name is considered to be the most merciful than other forms of the Lord's presence, whether as fire or as deity. So in this way, even when Draupadi was being embarrassed, when her clothes were being ripped off by Dusasana, Krishna was not present in his visible form. You could not see him at that moment. But she cried out, "Hey Krishna, hey Keshava, hey Govind." She started crying on the name of Krishna. And Krishna said, hearing her name chanted with such devotion and helplessness, with complete dedication, immediately he was present, and the holy name provided unlimited sari to save her from her disgrace. In this way, there are countless examples how the holy name delivers the fallen souls, delivers the devotees. So here, Rupa Goswami states, he considers that the chanting of the holy name is the most merciful aspect of the Lord. Therefore, he's glorifying the holy name with his complete devotion and attention. Seventh verse. Sudita sita jana kira saye ramya chidagana sukha sarupine nama Gokula Mahutsava Yute Krishna Purna Vashushe Namo Namaha. O my dear holy name, O beloved identical form of Krishna in sound, the devotees who take shelter of your lotus feet through constantly chanting you are even saved from destruction due to offenses against the holy name or Nama Bharat out of your causeless mercy. You are manifest as the supreme personal form of concentrated transcendental ecstasy. They describe it. Chidagana Sukha. You are personally the form of transcendental happiness in a daily festival for the residents of Gokula, Vrindavan Dham. Gokula Mahutsavayate. You are the full form of transcendental glory and eternal bliss through which you manifest through nectarian loving exchanges with your devotees. Therefore, my dear holy name of Krishna, I offer again and again my respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet. So here two important glories of the holy name are given. One I mentioned briefly before, that by chanting the holy name, one can be forgiven of offenses to the holy name. The other is that the name is actually the full form of transcendental ecstasy or bliss. Another verse explains this. Nam Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnasuddha Nitya Mukto Ha Vinatva Nama Namino. The Rasa Vigraha, the alvars of the Sri Sampradaya, the alvars of the Sri Sampradaya, the great devotees of Krishna in Tamil Nadu, or Purandara, or Madhva, other devotees, great acharyas. Narakadat. They are chanting, even Shankar says, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Muramati. You chant Govinda, Govinda. But these other devotees, they are simply chanting the name of the Lord. So by doing that, they were experiencing unlimited happiness. And the residents of Vrindavan, for them, it was a festival. So in these names, they were experiencing the presence of Krishna, the rasa of Krishna, the loving exchanges with Krishna by chanting the holy name. So in this way, the holy name is manifesting loving exchanges with the devotees. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would hear the holy names chanted, he would be transferred to the spiritual world. And there he would experience all of these pastimes which the names were manifesting in sound. So, again and again, he's offering his obeisances to the holy name. You can imagine how fortunate all of you are that this name is available for you to chant. This says the residents of Vrindavan, you can also be chanting in the same mood, the holy name, and thus getting the same transcendental benefits, realizations and shelter. Although some may think that this chanting of the holy name is for the sentimentalist, it's actually a great science. Chanting of the holy name is a very esoteric subject matter. Because if we explain this to people who don't have any faith in the name of Krishna, have no knowledge of the Vedas, in this esoteric aspect, they may challenge and they may say something offensive, and this way their own spiritual life will be hampered. And once they offend the holy name, then who can they turn to get shelter? So therefore, generally these glories of the name are only revealed amongst the devotees, amongst those who have developed a certain degree of advancement in spiritual life. Now for the last verse is very short. Narada Birno Jivan Sudharmi Nirjasa Madhuripur Twam Krishna Nama Kamam Swarame Rasane Rasena Sada. Translation. O my dear holy name of Krishna, you are the life and soul of the Veena, of Devarshi Narada Muni. You are an eternal tidal wave of full transcendental nectar. I humbly fall at your lotus feet and beg for your causeless mercy to make me always fixed in your service so that you may always dance tirelessly on my tongue. In other words, kindly bless me that I may always be engaged in chanting you without cessation. So here, Devarsi Narada Muni, who is great liberated soul, the life and soul of his Veena is this chanting of the holy name. He is traveling throughout the universe as a type of transcendental spaceman. He doesn't require any liquid nitrogen or oxygen or anything. Neither does his Veena explode like the Challenger, killing all the inhabitants. He is going simply by the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. He is chanting the name of Krishna and he is being propelled everywhere, you see, by his own spiritual potency. So Narada Muni is constantly chanting the name, and other great liberated souls Just like Dasaratnakar, by chanting the name of Rama, he became Valmiki. There's so many examples. So great. Now, Prahlad was always chanting the name of Krishna. Therefore, by the power of the name of Krishna, his father, Hiranyakashipu, he said, where do you get your power? How is it that I can defeat anyone, but I cannot defeat you? And Prahlad said, I'm getting my power from the same place where you get your power. Everybody is getting the power from the same place. That is the supreme powerhouse. The supreme source of all power, the Lord. The difference is I know where I'm getting my power from, but you're not accepting that you're getting your power from some other source. So the thing is, by chanting this name of Krishna, actually we cannot give enough attention. That's why in previous yugas, this chanting was not allowed to be chanted by, except for very orthodox brahmanas, because the name, being identical with Krishna, if you chant the name and you commit some offense, then for fear of that, people wouldn't chant. That's why this was a very restricted process. And there's some idea came that if we chant the name, then there'll be some offense, so then they stop to chant. Except when bathing in the Ganga or some sacred river, Kaveri, Narmada, like that. The actual science is that by repeatedly chanting the name of Krishna, Krishna's name is more merciful than other names of Vishnu. It said 1,000 names of Vishnu, if you chant, that's equal to one name of Ram. And if you chant 3,000 times the name of Vishnu, that's equal to one name of Krishna. Even then, all these things one gets from chanting Krishna's name, on top of that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's blessing is if you chant his name first and then chant Hare Krishna, then by his mercy, one can more easily avoid offenses to the holy name of Krishna and get the full effect of offenseless chanting. So great souls like Narada Muni, totally liberated, so their life and soul is chanting the name. It's not actually that it's a cheap thing. It's actually an invaluable thing. It's a priceless gift. But unfortunately, people don't, because it's so priceless that if you were to put a value on it, it would be out of the reach of anyone to buy. So it had to be given free because it's priceless. Free means the price you have to chant it. So this is a great opportunity everyone has to take this name. And if someone tries to perfect their chanting and chant more attentively, to keep on chanting and avoid offenses to the name, then by the mercy of the holy name, in a very short time one can achieve all perfections, which would normally take yugas to achieve. Once there was an argument between Haridas Thakur and one Brahmin in Bengal. Haridas Thakur was a guest of a head priest of one landlord. The name was Balaram Acharya. And the landlord's name was Hiranya Majumdar, and his brother was Govinda Majumdar. So then they asked that Haridas Thakur, he was born in a Muslim family, but he was appointed as a Namacharya by Lord Chaitanya, because he was chanting 300,000 names of Krishna every day. And his pastimes are unlimited. He was even able to, his life story is just something inconceivable. So, Haridas Thakur was asked by someone that they're having a regular dharma sabha in the evening. All the Brahmins, Pandits, and respectable citizens were there in the court of this landlord. He was a very wealthy landlord. He was giving in tax at that time 1,200,000 gold coins to the emperor.
You can understand. Now 1,200, the 12 lakhs of gold coins, what it's worth now. That time what it was worth. He was, what is it, that's a tax he paid, what was figure what he kept. So, that time the pandits asked that, tell us about the glories of the name, you're always chanting the name. And then some, by chanting the name you can get swarga, you can get all the good karmas, everything. But some of them, oh, even by chanting you can get moksha. Then Haridas Thakur interrupted. And he stated that these are all side products of chanting the holy name. You see, you get these things easy by chanting. You don't even count. Because by chanting the holy name of Krishna, you can actually capture Krishna in your heart.